sit together and share, so you can move the seats. There should be sources. I have an extra one here because I have mine. Okay, so really sit together. It's much better if you have the mikorot, and they're going to be bringing more. Okay, so it is Yom HaTzmaut, and the theme for the Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzmaut was the idea of Jewish heroes. Who is a hero? There are many different ways to understand heroism, right? But what I want to do today is to show how in Tanakh, right, who is a Jewish hero and who are the individuals that we look up to. And I want to do it really focusing on the pshat, in the idea of, are there any words or is there a word that is always associated with great Jewish heroes in Tanakh? What is that word? And the word that we find is the idea of mishpat. Mishpat will always be used, right, when we're talking about someone of great importance, a great leader, someone that we really respect. And this works all the way from beginning Tanakh to all the way in the end of Tanakh. So even though the word mishpat, right, is used over and over in Tanakh, we speak about it in Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, right? We speak about it in Torah. We speak about it in Nevi'im Rishonim, right, as well, and Ketuvim. But I want to see how is it associated with individuals, real, right, living and breathing individuals. That's just a general idea. Du mishpat, du tzedakah. And what we find very fascinatingly is this idea that mishpat is used with some of the most important individuals that we have, the great heroes. How? When is the first time it's used? How is it used? And what I want to show as well is not only how it's used in Tanakh and the Pshat, but that the Midrash, and especially the Parshanim, really had this sense, right, of, oh, Mishpat being very important and connecting it with individuals. But I want to show, right, that using this idea of the Parshanim and the Midrash, that we see that it works across the board, almost 100% throughout Tanakh. So that's what I'd like to do, right? How do we see this word of a mishpat, and what does it show about the important individuals? And what does it show about what we think, right, is important, right, for someone to be a hero? And the main idea that we're going to be discussing today is that there has to be this idea of mishpat, of justice connected with that individual. It doesn't mean that individual has to be perfect and never made a mistake, but they have to really develop this idea or persona and be seen as someone who is involved with justice. So we're going to start and see how we see it. Look at page one, right? If you look at the two first mekorot that I brought in, right, you see that whenever we talk about Hashem, and especially in our tefillah, right, Kabbalat Shabbat, Friday night, right, how do we depict Hashem? What are the psukim? I think they are going to be bringing more mekorot, but please sit with someone who has, right? In Tehillim, in Perek Tzadivav and Saritet, what do we see? We see that the way we describe Hashem and the psukim that we chose to speak about Hashem in Kabbalat HaShabbat is the idea of Mishpat. We don't necessarily talk about him, oh, they just created the world, or they just took Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim. But the main theme that we discuss about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is this idea of Mishpat. Look at Tehillim Perek Tzadivav. Lifnei Hashem kiba lishpot haaretz. Yishpot tevel betzedek va'amim be'emunato. This idea of tzedek, this idea of Mishpat, right? And that the idea of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is really wrapped around this idea of Mishpat. Look at Tehillim, Perek Tzaditet. Ve'oz melech Mishpat ahev, ata konanta mesharim Mishpat, utztaka b'Yaakov ata asita. Again, this idea of Mishpat utztaka. And we know the idea that afu rachum ma'ata rachum. Mahu rachum akata rachum. Right? This idea of imitatio dei. Our job in this world is to imitate a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is to be like Hashem. And because Hashem is the font of tzedek and mishpat in this world, that's the idea that we want to really personify. So what's fascinating is, right, if you look at your mikorot, the first time we find the idea of mishpat is with Sarah. The first time the word mishpat is brought in is with Sarah. What does she say? Yishpot Hashem b'niu b'necha. Right? Sarah says to Abraham, when Hagar looks lightly upon her, v'tekal gvirta b'neha, right? Sarah wants justice from Abraham, right? She wants him to do something in this case, right, to rectify the imbalance or the injustice that was done to her by Hagar. And what is that injustice, right? Vatera ki harata, pasuk dalet and hey, when she sees that she was pregnant, va'ikal beinah, she looks lightly at me, right? She doesn't respect me in the way that she's supposed to respect me. And what does Sarah do? She says, yishpot Hashem b'ni b'necha. Hashem should judge between me and you. And what is so fascinating about this? The first time Mishpat is brought in Tanakh, the first time Sarah elicits those words. And what would we expect? What would be the ideal here for Sarah to really do justice in this case? For Sarah really to treat Hagar in a way that would be just. And that would be a great step for mankind. Because that would be the first time Mishpat was mentioned and that Mishpat would be meted out. But instead, what does Sarah do? Abraham says, do with her as you want. Vayomer Avram el Sarai, hinei shifchatech biyadech, asila hatov be'inayach. But what does Sarah do? Vate'aneha Sarai, vativrach mipaneha. But instead, Sarai tortures her. This idea of inui. Where else in Tanakh, next time, do we have this idea, this language of inui? Is in Mitzrayim, which means when the Torah wants to use this phrase, it's a lost opportunity by Sarah Imenu. Which means if Sarah would have treated Hagar with Mishpat, or with Tzedek, or with Chesed, right? And doesn't do Inui, but maybe even if she sends her away, that's okay, because she has no place in the household. But she is Me'aneh Ota. And as a result, what is the famous view of Radak? Those were in my Breishit class, we did this, right? What do you see the Radak responds? The Radak responds that she went overboard. This is a lost opportunity. Why do we learn about the Avot and Imahot? We learn about them because we want to see how they can be role models in our lives. How do we act? And unfortunately, this is a situation where we won't imitate Sarah because she didn't act in the right way. Look at Radak. Vatanea Sarah. Number two, Radak. Astayima yoter midai. Ve'avdaba befarech. Even Radak is using what language? Avodat Parech, right? As we mentioned in Mitzrayim. Now you have to understand, the Midrashim have different views. What did she do? Was it just verbal, right? Did she really oppress her? But the idea that the Pshat, right, is saying the word Inui, and we only find it later with Mitzrayim, is showing that this was a missed opportunity. So even though Radak goes overboard, and he says, oh, she might have even makaotau mekalelatota, hitting and cursing her, that's not in the Pshat, so this is a demerit on Radak. And yet, in the end, what does Radak say? V'chena sipur. Why do you write these kind of stories in the Torah, says Radak? We're on the last two lines. V'chen ze sipur nichtav v'Torah liknot la'adam mimenu, to give a person hamidot hatovot ulaharchik haraot, to really foster good deeds and to really further ourselves from these kind of midot ra'ot. Now, it's very hard for Radak to write this about Sarah Imenu. And yet, because she brings in Mishpat first into Tanakh, this is the first mention of this word, of this shoresh, of mishpat, of justice. It really is a missed opportunity. And that's why the Ramban also, it's very hard for Ramban to write this. But the Ramban writes, because she tortured Hagar, look at number three, chata imenu ba'inui hazeh. It is a chet that Sarah imenu did, right? V'gam Avraham, because who lets her do it? Avraham Avinu, right? And what happens as a result? Hashem hears her cry. And what happens for all future generations? Yishmael is always going to torture Am Yisrael because of this missed opportunity, because of this inui that Sarah does to Hagar. So when Mishpat is brought in, that's a very important idea. It's a very important message. The idea that our job should have been to do Mishpat. That's what Sarah should have done, and it was a missed opportunity. Ironically and very importantly, later on, what does the Ramban say when Sarah says to Abraham, Gareshata Amazot? Ramban says she was absolutely right, and that was a good judgment call. Why? Because what did Yishmael do? Also, he's mitzachek. Right here, vatekal gvirta beinah, parallels between the two. But instead of torturing her, what does she say she has to leave? She has to be in a different environment. Yishmael has to be in a different environment. That's okay. That is meeting out justice in a different kind of way. He has to develop in a different kind of environment. Here, he's always making fun. He's always cynical. And that is going to corrupt the idea. And Yitzchak will have the legacy. But it's very interesting. Lost opportunity here with Sarai. And that's why, when's the next time we find the idea of Mishpat in Chumash? Look at number four. That's when Hashem wants to destroy his dome. And what does the Torah tell us very clearly? Pasuk Yutet. Ki yidativ leman asher yitzave et banav ve'et beito acharav v'shamru derech Hashem la'asot tzedakah u'mishpat. Sarah already intimates. She knows that there's this idea of Yishpot Hashem b'ni u'b'necha, but she doesn't bring it out in the right way. Which means she's the first one. She had a great opportunity. But who has this other opportunity? Hashem says, when I want to destroy Sdom, I have to tell Avraham Avinu. Because what does Avraham stand for? He stands for doing mishpat and tzedakah. And he's going to teach it for all his future generations. Look at again the parallel. What does Ramban say? It was a missed opportunity with Sarai, because if she did mishpat, that's how we would have been with all the nations. The Ishmaelim, maybe even Esav in the future. These are early things that set the tone. Maaseh avot siman lebanim. And what happens with Avraham? Hashem says, I cannot hide. Okay, there's no cups. You'll excuse me when I drink from the bottle. That's fine. But you do? I will wait. What do we see? Hashem says, I have to tell Abraham what I'm doing to Sdom. I have to tell him because why? Because what are Abraham's children going to do? They're going to do tzedakah u'mishpat, and he's going to teach his children. That's the idea of Abraham. Teaching his children to do tzedakah u'mishpat, justice. That's why Abraham is chosen, because he's going to be the man of justice. He's going to be the first one to bring justice into the world and to really spread this idea of mishpat. And that's why Hashem is going to tell Abraham, right, what he's going to do to Sdom. And what is so fascinating? What is Abraham's discussion? Hashem says, I want to destroy Sdom because they are ra'im al-chata'im. So what should have Abraham said? Okay. What does Noah do when he hears that the whole world is going to be destroyed, right? So let's just move ahead for a second, right? What happens with Abraham, right? What happens with Noah? What happens with Chanoch? So we're going to go ahead to number 7. We're on page 2, number 7. V'noach matzachem b'nei Hashem, ela toldot Noach, Noach, tzadik tamim haya bedorotav, et ha'elokim italech Noach. We have beautiful things said about Noah. But what do we know about Noah? Noah only cares about his family. He builds a teva, he only cares about his family. He saves his family. We don't see, right, him saying anything to generation or asking Hashem, why are you destroying the generation? Noah cares about his family. And Chanoch, another individual who is walking with Hashem. So it's not just that Abraham walks with Hashem. It's not just that. It's the idea that he goes beyond himself. And he wants to teach this idea of mishpat u'tzedakah. And he wants to spread it to other people as well. Chanoch was a great individual. Look at number 5. But Hashem had to take him away. What's the view of Rashi? Because he felt he was going to be influenced by other people, and he wouldn't be able to be keeping this level of mishpat u'tzedakah, and that's why Hashem has to take him away. And again, there's the big debate between Rashi and Ramban. Ramban thinks Noach was a great man, but what does Rashi say, basing on the Midrash? That Noach really is a relativist. He's only good in his generation, but if he was in the generation of Abraham, he wouldn't be considered such a great person. And Rav Rosenzweig Shlita, my husband, Rav Rosenzweig Shlita, Rosh Hashiva, who I do, right, when he describes Noah, right, I always debate, should I not quote him because it's awkward, but no, gotta do the, right, you know, the Torah B'Shem Omro. So Noah, right, how does Rav Rosenzweig describe Noah? He describes him as a survivor. He survived, and his family survives, and he's also a relativist, right? Ish tzadik tamim haya bidorotav. He always, right, changes according to generation. In the generations where he is, he's a relativist. But what's different about Abraham, right? Hitalech lefanai ve'yetamim. All the things that Abraham does, it's not just relative to his generation. He's able to teach a message that is going to be kept for thousands and thousands of years. And here we are today, keeping that legacy of Abraham. So Abraham is not just a survivalist. He's not just a relativist. He's an innovator. He's an idealist. And one of the most important ideals that Abraham teaches is this idea of tzedek and mishpat. And he is willing to argue for Sdom, a city that he knows is filled with rishaim and chataim, but he is arguing and asking, are there any tzedekim? Can there be any survivors? Should anyone be saved? And he's even arguing with Hashem. And look at the language again that he argues with Hashem. Go back to page 1, we're on number 4. We're in Bereshit Perek Yud Chet. How does he argue with Hashem? He says, Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat. So this idea of mishpat is really ingrained with Abraham. Brought to us the first time with Sarah, but Abraham is the one who is able to even daven for individuals who are rasha'im, beyond himself, and to treat them and to make sure that they are treated with the way of chesed. But another place, which is also very fascinating, turn to page 2. Look at Lot in Perek Yud-Tet, in Breishit, right? When Lot takes in the guests, the malachim, right? So number one, it's a little questionable for us why Lot goes to Sdom, right? If he's such a man, right, he separates from Abraham, if he really imbued all of the, you know, themes and values of Abraham, he shouldn't have gone to Sdom. But he goes to Sdom. In Sdom, he's different than everybody else. He takes in the malachim who come, he takes in the guests. When he takes in the guests, what do all the people from Sdom? They surround the house and they want to destroy Lot. And what do the people say to Lot? Vayomru geshala, right? Don't try to save your visitors. Ha'echad balagur vayishvot shafot, which means one person came and he's going to judge us. Which means for all the people around, Lot, who was a descendant or connection, right? He's connected, brother-in-law and also nephew of Abraham. And he just separated from Abraham. How do they view Lot? As a person who judges. Because for Zom, what is Lot considered? Like a judge. Who brought this idea of judging and of bringing justice into society? Abraham. So Lot, who is connected to Abraham, they look at him. You're bringing this new idea of justice, right, of morality to our society, right? Who do you think you are? And Lot is not able to really continue that idea of justice, because who does Lot offer right after this moment to all the people outside, right? Who did he offer? He offered his daughters. So he's not on that level of Abraham. But still, compared to Sdom, everyone understands that from the Abraham family, what do people stand for? Justice, mishpat. And that's why from Zdom's point of view, they're also asking Lot, oh, you came and you think you're going to judge us? So we see this idea of mishpat is a very important idea. Go back now to page 1. So we're going to see the Ramban. As we see, we're constantly looking at the Parshanim. How do they see the message of mishpat, daka, Abraham, right? How he is having an influence. Look at number 5. Ramban in Breshit Perek Yud-Chet, Pasuk Yud-Chet. What does Ramban say? V'hanachon. Ki Hashem itbarach diber bichvod Abraham. When the Torah is saying that Abraham's arguing with Hashem, it's not critical of Abraham saying, oh, how can Abraham argue with Hashem? It's saying the kavod of Abraham. It's teaching us something special about Abraham Avinu. Because it says, before I destroy Sdom, I have to tell Abraham, because Abraham is the person of mishpat in the whole world. Right? And that's why I have to tell him. Because what is he going to do? Right? He's going to be the individual who represents mishpat for all future generations. So when Hashem is going to destroy Sdom, he has to tell Abraham. Because if something happened during the time of Abraham, and Abraham just let it happen and didn't do anything about it, then he can't be this great leader. Because what happened with Noah? Noah knew that this destruction was going to happen. And what did he just do? He built his own tevah. But he doesn't really care about others. He doesn't argue with Hashem. Should you really bring the mabul? Questioning Hashem? So Ramban says that's what's so great about Abraham. And that's why he tells us the story. Not to tell us, oh, how could Abraham argue with Hashem? How beautifully that Abraham argues with Hashem. Because that shows the moral and ethical, right, and justice integrity and base, right, of who Abraham is. Go to the next page, the top. Ki edativ bo shehu makir v'yodea shani Hashem ohed tzedakah u'mishpat. Which means Abraham knew that Hashem loves tzedakah u'mishpat. Which means Abraham's the first one to spread this idea of justice, of righteousness, right? And that's why Hashem wants to tell him, and that's why Ramban says, we learn from this that Abraham realized Hashem is Ish HaTzdaka, quotations around Ish, right? So what should we be? We should be people of Tzedaka. And Abraham's the first one to spread that idea in the world. And that's why we have to have this argument, because this sets to us who Abraham really is. And that's why v'hine in b'derech tzaka u'mishpat yifteru yitpalel fanai lahanicham v'tov hadavar. Because Abraham wants mishpat. Hashem wants mishpat. And that's the special thing that Abraham was able to teach the world. So now we go to Moshe. So here we see Abraham, mishpat, that's what he stands for. That is what a great leader is. And I don't bring it with Yitzchak, and I don't bring it with Yaakov, even though they were great leaders. But we don't have this language of Mishpat associated with them. Because we want to show Avraham is the first prototype. He is the first great one. The next one we find this with is Moshe Rabbeinu. Go to page 3. When Moshe grows up, right? And then he goes out and he looks at his brothers. And first, he meets out justice. And those who are in my Nechama Leibovitz class will identify this, and I quote her in number 11, right? What do we see with Moshe Rabbeinu? First, Moshe Rabbeinu sees an Egyptian, right, oppressing a Yisrael. And what does he do? He smites the Egyptian and he buries him in the sand. Next, what does he see? Two Israelites fighting with each other. And he asks them, Lama takereyecha? He asks the Rasha, Lama takereyecha? Why are you hitting your friend, your rea, your nation mate? Pasuk yudalet, vayomer. So the Rasha screams back to Moshe, Mi samcha l'ish sar v'shofet aleinu. Halahargeni ata omer kasher harakta tamitzri. So again, right away with Moshe, what do we meet? This idea of Mishpat. Which means the two Ivrim are saying, who made you a shofet on us? So this idea of justice also with Moshe Rabbeinu, who is going to be the great leader of Am Yisrael, we have to find this idea of Mishpat. He looks for justice. He looks for Mishpat. And then what do we know? He brings justice when he sees the daughters of Yitro trying to get water, right? And the Ro'im, the shepherds, don't allow them to draw water, and Moshe helps them. So Nechama Leibovitz beautifully brings this idea out, and she says, look, right away when we're introduced to Moshe, how do we see him? Ish HaMishpat, a man of justice. Between a Jew and a non-Jew. Between two Jews and between two non-Jews. Which means, what's the idea? In every single situation, Moshe looks for justice. Moshe is always looking for justice, and that's why Hashem is going to choose him to be the leader of Am Yisrael, because of this idea of Mishpat. So it's not just the idea of justice, the word, again, just like Avraham, is brought in. If you look right after Yitziat Mitzrayim, right after the Makot, right after Yam Suf, which Moshe already shows what a great leader he is, the first thing that happens right after Yam Suf, and Bnei Yisrael sang Shirat HaYam, look at Perek Kedvav, number 13, page 3, number 13. Bnei Israel asked for sweet water, and they scream to Moshe. Moshe gets wood. He puts it in the water. The water becomes sweet. We're on Pasuk Kafhei. Vayim teku hamayim. Sham sam lo chok umishpat v'sham nisahu. What does Moshe do right after Yam Suf, right after all the great Makot and the Nisim? Still, how does now Moshe have to establish himself again for Am Yisrael? That he brings chok umishpat l'Yisrael. So again, we see this word mishpat used when we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu. And he brings chok umishpat. And what does the Ramban say? What does it mean? So he quotes Rashi, he quotes a Midrash, saying he taught them Shabbat, he taught them Dinim, he taught them Parah Adumah. Chok umishpat. Right? What does the Ramban say? He didn't give them those mitzvot. Rashi probably also doesn't think he gave them the mitzvot and they'll do them, because you have to wait for Kabbalat HaTorah to be actually, right, responsible that you have to do the mishpatim. But it says, right, that he's teaching them the mitzvot, which means he's teaching them the mishpatim. What is so special about Moshe Rabbeinu? That he is able to give over a culture of mishpat, to behave in a certain way. And Ramban again beautifully says, we'll start with the bold on bottom, underlined, Al haderech shelimed Avraham avinu et haTorah. Avraham didn't give the people the Torah, he taught them mishpat utzdakah. Which means, so what does Ramban want to say? Just like Avraham was able to teach mishpat utzdakah, and that's what he stood for, so to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, after Yam Suf, after the Makot, what does Moshe have to reestablish himself as showing that this is what he stands for? He stands for chok umishpat. And he's able to teach and let the people know and really inculcate into them these values. And again, so beautifully, right before Moshe's giving Torah, and this is the ultimate mishpat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do we have to see Moshe? Look at number 15, Perek Yudchet. So beautifully, Vayhi mimacharat, Vayeshev Moshe lishpot et ha'am. This is right before Matan Torah. How do we have to establish and know what Moshe stands for? He is the Shofet. He is judging Am Yisrael. And Yitro says, right, you won't be able to do it by yourself. You have to appoint judges. But again, it establishes that who is the ultimate judge of Bnei Israel and who has to be seen as the Shofet before we go into Matan Torah? It is Moshe. Only someone, Ish Mishpat, can give over the Torah. So we start with Avraham, the great leader, Ish Mishpat. We come to Moshe, Ish HaTorah. It has to be that he establishes himself as an Ish Mishpat. And so beautifully, okay, I have to drink. So beautifully with Yoshua. Yoshua is the ultimate Talmid of Moshe, great leader of Am Yisrael, and he brings them into Eretz Yisrael. How do you come into Eretz Yisrael? Only with Chok U'Mishpat, only as a leader who really has these values of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why at the end of Yoshua's career, we start that the Malach comes to him and tells him Chazak Ve'ematz, but we end with Yoshua. How do we see Yoshua? Look at number 16, Perek Kaf Dalet, Pasuk Kaf Hei. Vayichrot Yoshua brit la'am bayom ahu, vayasem lo chok u'mishpat bishchem. So similar. Sham sam lo chok u'mishpat v'sham nisao. He is in Moshe's template. He is, right, continuing the ideas of Moshe Rabbeinu. Just like Moshe is Eved Hashem, right? What is Yoshua? Eved Moshe, Mesharet Moshe. So now I come to an interesting idea, right? And this is something I'm working on that I'm suggesting. Look at page 4, number 17. So I want to suggest that because, right, I haven't seen anywhere yet, but you might have seen it somewhere. Please, you know, come up and let me know. That why do we call, right, all the Shoftim, Shoftim? And what I'd like to suggest is that that was how Bnei Israel saw their leaders. Not necessarily that they'll be great judges, because who was the only judge? See, in English I could ask it. Who was the only judge, right, in Sefer Shoftim that it says about the judge, right, that this judge judged? Only Dvorah, that she was judging Am Yisrael. V'hishafta et Am Yisrael. V'yavor elei Bnei Yisrael le'mishpat. It only says about her that she was a great judge and that she brought mishpat. The other ones it says v'yishpot, v'yishpot, v'yishpot. Many times in Sefer Shoftim. Every leader v'yishpot et Yisrael 20 years, 30 years, 15 years. What's the idea? Because by this time, how do Bnei Yisrael see their leaders? What does a leader have to represent? Mishpat. Shofet. So even though they're fighting, even though they're warriors, even though they're bringing some kind of organized, politics, right, to Am Yisrael, but we see them as a shofet. And that's why everyone, no matter what, even though they're just a hero or they're just a fighter, right, we don't talk about them in religious or even in ethical, moral ways, but how do we see our leaders? They are shoftim. And that's why all of Sefer Shoftim, right, every single leader is a shofet. Because that's become the ideal. That is what we're looking for, a shofet. Someone who represents mishpat. And that's why all of Sefer Shoftim, from the time of Yoshua to the time of Shmuel, those are our leaders. And we call them shoftim. Because we could have called them giborim, right? And then identify what a gibor means. Gibor b'Hashem, gibor milchama, right? But we call them shoftim. And I want to suggest that that's why. Because from the beginning, who are our great leaders? They are shoftim. And that's what we represent. And that's how this became a catch-all phrase. But of course, who was the last of the really great Shoftim? It was Shmuel. And again, what do we always identify with Shmuel? This idea of Mishpat. Who shafat et Israel. He really judged. He went around. He brought Mishpat, right? And he sees that being a Shofet is such a high level that he puts his sons as Shoftim. But everyone's disappointed in them, right? Because they are not on the level of Shmuel. So what do Bnei Israel ask? Look at number 18, Shmuel Aleph, Perek Zayin. Okay, we're on page number 4. What do we see with Shmuel and Bnei Israel when they ask for a Shofet? Actually, we'll go to number 19, right? What do Bnei Israel say? Pasukei, we're in Perek Chet, Pasukei, number 19. Vayomru Elav, Hinei ata zakanta ubanecha lo alchu bidrachecha. You gave us your sons, but they're not going in your ways. Ata sima lanu melech, L'shofteinu k'chol ha'goyim. Give us a melech to judge us like all the goyim. So this is really a mixed metaphor for us. Because what do we know? Bnei Israel asked to be judged like all the goyim. The whole thing is that we have our own kind of justice, our own kind of mishpat, and not like all the goyim. On the other hand, what's very fascinating here, when Bnei Israel, right, ask for a melech, and they ask l'shofteinu. Look how Shmuel speaks about it. And we spoke about not exactly this idea, but the bigger idea in our class, right? In our Shmuel class. Look at Pasuk Bav. Vayirah ha-tavar b'nei Shmuel kasher amru, t'na lanu melech l'shofteinu. Not just they're upset they have a king, but why are they upset? A king l'shofteinu. So on the one hand, it's personal for Shmuel. Why is it personal for Shmuel? Because what is Shmuel? He's the shofet. Which means we don't want you anymore. We want someone else. So that's number one. But what's number two here? What is number two here that is very interesting? Why is Shmuel so upset? Because till now, who does the mishpat? It is Shmuel. And it is the shofet. So now Bnei Israel want this idea of melech. And here, look very carefully. In Sefer Dvarim, when it talks about a melech, l'shofteinu, look at number 20, Dvarim Perek Yud Zayin. Who should do the mishpat? Till now, you had everyone integrated. Moshe, he did wars, and he also davens, and he is the shofet. Abraham, we know Abraham fought wars as well, but he is the moral and ethical leader. Yoshua, for sure he fights wars, and he does mishpat. All the shoftim, they integrated, right? Being a hero and also doing mishpat sometimes. But what is fascinating with the idea of melech, look at the division of powers in the Torah. Tells us when we get to a melech, we don't put everything in his hands. We have a division of powers. And what are the division of powers? Look at Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tet. Uvata el ha-kohanim halvi'im ve'el ha-shofet asher yeh bayamim ahem. Who do we want to be our leaders? The Kohen, the Levi, the religious leaders, they do the judging. The Sanhedrin, you go to the religious leaders. And what do? Pasuk Yud Aleph? Everything, kechol asher yerucha, al pi ha-torah asher yerucha, ve'al ha-mishpat. Right? They're going to tell you what mishpat is. And in the same peret, go to page 5. And in the same peret, in Pasuk Yudalid, what does it say? When you come to Eretz Yisrael, ve'amarta asima alai melech kechol agoyim asher svivotai. What word is missing? L'shofteinu. Which means when Bnei Israel ask asima alai melech l'shofteinu, sima aleinu, melech l'shofteinu, and Shmuel's upset of the l'shofteinu, because that's different. Till now, you had one integrated leader. But when it comes to melech, what should there be? A balance of powers, right? In almost all big societies, you have this balance of powers. You have the shofet, the judge, and then you have, right, you have political leaders. You have, many times, checks and balances. You have, especially in America, right, we have this division between the different branches. So what is so fascinating? When it comes to melech, there should be a division of powers between the shofet and between the melech. And that's why, even in the end, what does Shmuel say? Look at number 21. To Bnei Israel, after they ask for a melech, and as we know, Bnei Israel asks, and Shmuel's very upset, and says Hashem's very upset, what does Shmuel still say? I'm going to be the shofet. And what is Shaul going to be? The warrior, and never the twain shall meet. And I'm going to judge you now, on this last day, before you are going to have this melech. So what about David? And David is going to be fascinating, because David is going to be the one who's anointed after Shaul. Shaul is not involved with Mishpat, because Shmuel is going to do the Mishpat. But what are we going to see very fascinatingly when it comes to David? David, one of his great features of being a great leader, is that we're going to see he uses his language to convince. He speaks about Shem Hashem. He's fighting against Goliath. But ultimately, we're going to find that because he does Mishpat, he is going to be this great leader. And David is going to integrate, and we're going to mention Mishpat connected with David. So look at David. When David is in the cave, Shaul is there. David can kill him. He doesn't kill him, but he just cuts his coat. After he cuts his coat, his heart is beating. In class, we go into many details. We're just going to do a quick summary. Pasuk Yud Bet, David goes out. He meets Shaul on the mountain. And what does he say to Shaul? Very important. Number 22, Shmuel Aleph, Perek Kaf Dalet, Pasuk Yud Bet. Yishpot Hashem b'ni u'b'necha. Where did we see that phrase already before? With Sarai, with Sarah, right? She says it to Abraham, Yishpot Hashem b'ni u'b'necha. What does David say to Shaul, Yishpot Hashem b'ni u'b'necha. Hashem should judge between me and you. You know what? I could have taken my revenge against you, but I didn't. And you know what? Hashem is going to take my revenge against you, and my hand is not going to be against you. Pasuk Tetvav. V'haya Hashem l'dayan v'shafat bein yu beinecha. Hashem is going to be judging between me and you. Which means the first time we find David, when he's confronted with this issue of competition, of someone who wants to kill him, similar like Sarah, right? What does he do? He invokes the same words that Sarah does. So on one hand, it looks amazing. Here's the first time David is saying, I could have killed you, I didn't kill you, right? Hashem is going to judge between me and you. But look at the language he uses. Unikamani Hashem. Hashem's going to take my revenge from you. What do we expect David to say? The bigger ideas, the bigger themes. Not to talk about personal revenge. So even though David is entering the waters of Mishpat, he's not doing a great job yet. He's invoking Mishpat, but he sees it as personal. Hashem should take my revenge over you. So he's taking the high road. He didn't kill Shaul, but he shouldn't kill Shaul. Shaul is Mashiach Hashem. Shaul is his father-in-law. David is anointed, but he's not yet king. Right? So we see the beginning of Mishpat, but we don't see the end of Mishpat yet. But we see he's trying. What do we know with Nabal? What does David almost do? He almost kills Nabal unjustifiably. And of course, who saves him? Abigail saves him. Which means, but David's toying with the idea of Mishpat. Here we have all the great three leaders. Avram asks Hashem, Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh Mishpat, but Hashem destroys Dom. Avram tries with Mishpat, it doesn't work, but then he becomes Isha Mishpat. Moshe also, he's arguing with the two Ivrim. He's not successful, he has to run away. But he starts with this idea of Mishpat, Mishpat is important. Here we find also, even though David's a little misguided, Mishpat Hashem b'niyu b'necha, and he wants it for personal revenge, right? He still doesn't do anything for Shaul. He did cut his coat, which was not great. But he doesn't mete out something of injustice. But also we have an interesting phrase. Look at number 6, page number 6. On the top, David in Siklag. At one point, David has to join with the Plishtim, running away from Shaul. And really, on the one hand, what is he doing? He is destroying Amalek, but he comes back and tells Achish, I was fighting against Yehuda. And look at the language it used for David. Look at Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'ish v'isha lo yechayed. David doesn't let anyone survive from the Amalekim and the others and the Keni that he goes and attacks. Because he knows if Achish is going to find out, he's going to kill him, that he's killing these tribes and not from Am Yisrael. V'chom mishpato kol hayamin. Asher yashav bizdei plishtim. And again, the word mishpat is used with David, but it's ambiguous. Which means, is mishpat killing all these innocent people? Maybe yes, because he's finishing off Amalek in a way that Shaul didn't. Or, the fact that he's lying about it, is David not doing mishpat? So David did not earn, right, his mishpat insignia yet, and he's still working with this idea of mishpat. Is it a compliment or is it a criticism? Finally, we get the big compliment. And the big compliment comes in Siklag. Again, when Shaul is fighting this great battle that we had the first Sheor on, right? Shaul and Yonatan die in this major battle. David has to be on the side of the Plishtim because Shaul is handling him his whole life. When he's fighting for the Plishtim, right, or making believe, they have to leave their home base. They come back to the home base is burnt, empty. Their wives, children, all their possessions are gone. They go and they find the people who took everything. They find all the women and the children alive and all their possessions alive. And they take them back in battle. And David divides the people into 400 and 200 men. And the 400 men who fought with him say about the 200 men who were just behind, making sure that everything is organized, but we're on the supply lines. The 400 men say, we're not sharing anything. They get their wives, they get their children, but they don't get any of the spoils. And what does David say? Look at the last line, number 24. He says, we are going to split equally. The people who go out to war get the same thing as the people who stood behind on the supply lines. Vayihima yomahu v'mala vayisimea lechok ulimishpat liYisrael ad hayom hazeh. Which means David is able to mete out justice and he's able to do it in a way that the people listen to him. So now that Shaul is going to die in the next perek on Harea Gilboa, the question is David fit to be king? Can he be the next king? And the answer is yes, because he brings chok u'mishpat. So we see how the Tanakh is mentioning with every single one of the great leaders who are starting a new kind of trend. Abraham, new trend. Moshe, new trend. David, Melech Yisrael, a new trend. You have to have this idea of chok u'mishpat. And look at Rashi so beautifully saying, it doesn't say ma'ayomahu vahala, It says Vayomahu Vamala, because who is he imitating? Look at Rashi. He is imitating Avraham, because Avraham also did this justice. When he was fighting the war of the four and the five kings, he said, you know, I'm not going to take anything. Remember, he swears, I'm not going to take a shoelace. I'm not going to take anything. But the people who fought with me, Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre, they deserve to get from the spoils of war, because that is general practice. But I'm not going to take it because I take the high road. So we see how beautifully this idea of mishpat is really baked into the cake of the great leaders. So much so that when Avshalom rebels against David, what does he say? How does he rebel against Shmuel Bet? Oh, this is really being good bekiyas throughout all Tanakh, right? In Shmuel Bet, Avshalom rebels against David, right? David has to run away. Avshalom, his son, rebels. And what does Avshalom say in order to get people to follow him? Look at Shmuel Bet, Perek Tetvav. He goes to the gate of the city and he says, anyone who has a mishpat, come to me and I'm going to say that you're innocent. I'm going to say that you're right, which means Avshalom knows what's the way to get the people. What's the way to show that you are king, that you are leader? You say you're going to do mishpat. You are going to be the shofet who's going to mete out justice. Look at number seven. In page seven, if you look at page seven, Shirat David, right? We just read Shirat David. Shvi Shel Pesach, this was the Haftarah. What does David say? David says, Ki chol mishpatav linegdi. To be a great leader, what do I always need opposite me to see? The mishpatim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The chukotav lo asur mimena. Again, the idea of chok u'mishpat. Great leaders not only have to mete out justice, but have to have this self-awareness about what this means. And that's why the Gemara says a very interesting thing. There's a big debate in the Mishnah. Right, in the Mishnah Sanhedrin, can a king be a shofet? Can he be a judge? So the bottom line is, a melech Yisrael cannot, Shaul, and later the 10 tribes, right, who split, right? So Malchut Yisrael, the 10 tribes who were up north, northern kingdom, cannot judge, but Malchut Beit David can. And David sets the example, right, of how a melech can be a shofet. Because David and Bet David stood for Mishpat. And where do we see that? We see that with Shlomo. What does Shlomo ask for? Shlomo asks for Sechel in order to Lishpot et Am Yisrael. He could have asked for money. He could have asked for success. But he asks for Sechel, right, to judge Am Yisrael. Because he understands that. What is that? That is what it means to be a great leader. And Yotam, when his father, Uzziyahu, right, we just did this in Malachim class, when his father Uzziyahu gets Tzarat, when it says Yotam is like the acting king, it says that he's Shofet B'nai Yisrael, because that's kind of that interim slot. And Yehoshaphat, his name is talking about Mishpat, to show what a great leader he was, that he sets up the court system. We talk about this idea of Mishpat. He sets up Mishpat, and his identity is Mishpat, Yehoshaphat. Mishpat Hashem. Unfortunately, both Yehoshaphat and Shlomo cannot give over this for the next generation, because Yehoshaphat marries his son to Ataliah, daughter of Ahav, and we find that Yehoshaphat, right, fails. Shlomo, who asks for so much chokhmah, also fails, because he marries all these other women and his kids are not totally, right, entrenched and totally consumed by this Yediyas Hashem. So even though they themselves do Mishpat, but they can't pass it on to the next generation. What's so special about Avram, about Moshe, and about David? They were able to pass it down. This idea of justice, right? And I want to finish with, on page 8, with the Mashiach. How do we describe Mashiach, right? And this is the Haftarah for the last day of Pesach, because we talk about it as the Geula. And that's why, right, we don't read the Haftarah here, because we don't do some of the different readings and different practices that are done, right, in some communities, right? But we stick according to, you know, the practices, right, of our Rabbanim. But the Haftarah, right, that Dr. Levine spoke about earlier, right, also reads part of this for the Haftarah today. What is the idea of Mashiach? And how do we describe Mashiach? What is so special? We're in Perek Yudal, that Melech HaMashiach. Pasuk Gimel. V'haricho b'yirat Hashem. He is going to be so in tune with justice that he doesn't even have to see. That's how we get the idea of blind justice. If you always wondered artistically where that comes from, it comes from here. He's going to smell Yirat Hashem and he doesn't even have to see in order to judge honestly. He doesn't even have to hear in order to judge correctly. B'tzedek dalim v'ochiach b'mishor la'am ve'aretz. He is going to judge, right, justly, even the poor. And he's going to give tochacha, right? And he's going to have pasukei v'yatzedek ezor matna ve'emuna ezor chalatzav. Which means the ultimate leader that we speak about, what is his or her greatest feature? It's going to be this idea of justice. And this is the idea that we have really taught civilization, right? The idea of tzedakah, the idea of tzedek, the idea of mishpat especially. And this idea of mishpat, we see, according to the pshat, is identified with our great leaders. Because mishpat, the idea of justice, how you run a society, right? Is there, you know, justice for all? Right? We were the first Justice League individuals, right? We were the world's first, right? And we really set the tone for everyone. So on this Yom HaTzma'ut, we really want to celebrate who we are and what we really have brought to the world. And we hope that also Medinat Yisrael is also going to be and continue to be that kind of beacon. And we as a people, wherever we are, even in the Tzfutzot, to be this real hallmark, right, of Mishpat, this idea of what justice is all about. And we've been doing it for thousands of years, and I hope we'll do it for many more. Hopefully.
Let's just wait announcements for the last month at 12:15, so that's a little more than 10 minutes.